Christ who became sin for us. What a glorious truth. Those of us who understand that passage of scripture, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about how Christ, who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and our verses, again, will be verses 14 through 22. We are back in our study of chapter 3 of 14, verse 22. Chapter 3, verse 14, verse 22. And when you have it, just say amen. And it reads, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, having become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As men as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Again, as I said earlier, we are back in our study of this wonderful passage here in the book of Revelation concerning about the last of the churches that our Lord addresses. This is part four of the message that I entitled, with a little help of my brothers, "The Danger of Lukewarmness." 6 points, as I have mentioned early in the previous message, concerning in this passage here. And quickly, I just want to review them for those who may be here for the first time, or also for those on sermon audio who may be listening for the first time. The first point that we've seen, we looked at the church at verse 14 here, and we said that this is the messenger that the Lord Jesus Christ addresses the church. The church here is also at the city of Laodicea, as I have mentioned earlier, the last time. This city was very wealthy. It was the clothing center, and also it was famous for its eye salve as well. Again, we see the church. Then secondly, we see the Christ, the church, then the Christ. And again, in verse 14, this is no other than the eternal Son of God. This is not that one, that movie that is out today that is so blasphemous, you know, that one that they title the Son of God. Don't even waste your money on that. That is a blaspheming thing concerning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't waste your money on that. That is not the Son of God, that movie that portrayed. Hollywood puts his own version of. We have the record of the Word of God here in our possession, which is the Word of God. But no, this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is the eternal Son of God. He is the one that addresses his churches. And again, he reveals to Apostle John the three divine titles of himself. You notice that he says, again, in verse 14, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, The Amen. He speaks of himself as being the God of truth. Again, you can go to Isaiah chapter 65, verse 16. And also, secondly, we see that he reveals himself as being the faithful and true witness. Every word that proceeded out of his mouth, every word that he has spoken and has continued to speak through his word, it's true. It's completely trustworthy. And in other words, it is perfectly accurate. And lastly, he revealed himself as being the creation, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the uncaused. I like that term. He is the uncaused that causes everything. He is the creator of all things. And again, you can go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. So we've seen the church, we've seen the Christ, and thirdly, we've seen the complaint. Look with me at verse 15. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Again, he says, I know your work. That phrase means completely full knowledge. I get tinkle pink to the point of knowing that God knows everything about me. I love that to the point to where there's nothing that I can hide from Almighty God. Such accountability. I have accountability with you as well, but even more so with the Lord Jesus Christ, that when I come to him in prayer, he knows everything. He knows whether I'm sincere or I'm just put on the front. He knows the things that I have been going through where nobody else knows. He knows my aches and my pain, and as the brother had mentioned, my loneliness at times, because I am I want to serve him with my whole heart, mind, and soul, and strength. He knows my weakness. He knows when we groan within our spirit because we cannot serve him perfectly. That we cannot obey him. And even at times when we grieve him in the sense of grieving the Holy Spirit, when we sin against him, he knows these things. And he remembered that we are just dust. We are in the flesh. We are sinful people that have been saved by his grace. Here, he tells the Laodicean church, he says, I know your works. I know everything about it. And notice that he says again that you are neither cold nor hot. In other words, he used this metaphorical language to describe this church condition. And here, as I mentioned last time, I used to think that that was the point of being cold and hot, and it is, to the point of being in lukewarmness. Here I understand that when it says that you were cold, it means that you can be refreshing, that you can be usable. Here when he says about being hot, as far as like being also like when you soothing and like in taking a bath or even drinking hot tea, is still usable. But here he tells the Laodicean church, you are neither cold nor hot. You are neither one. You are in the middle. You are lukewarm. You are useless. That's a sad condition. And again, as I said earlier, that is a very dangerous condition. Imagine those who proclaim that they are of God, yet they believe that they have a relationship with God, but hear Christ telling them that you are useless. Any true believer, and hear me out carefully, clearly, anyone who has been born of God, who has been born from above, who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, who have now their names written in the Lamb Book of Life, whose heart, as the brother had mentioned in his prayer, have taken the stony heart and put a heart of flesh in. Anyone who has been born again want to be used by God. You want to be used by God. You want to serve God with your whole mind, soul, and strength. But these individuals here, and it may be some even in here, that you are in this lukewarm condition. And Christ says you are useless. Well, we looked at the church. We looked at the Christ. We looked at the complaint. But fourthly, we stopped at the caution. Look at verse 16 and 17. He says, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither, that's the key phrase, you are neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. They was in neither category. They was not hot, nor they was not cold. They was in the middle. And these are the people that who just stays in the middle, who's indifference in all things, who had a form of godliness but denying the power of. They were just like these Pharisees, as the scripture gives to us. They thought that they had a relationship with Christ, but they did not. And to be honest, these people here who are in this condition, they are the toughest one to reach. As we have said earlier, a moralist, you can't tell a moralist anything, because they believe what their good things, they things that they do good, or for us going to work, taking care of their family, doing everything. Everything that they seem in their own eyesight believe that is good, they believe that that will get them into heaven. But just as Christ said to the Pharisee, he says, the homemonger and the tax collector, they will enter into heaven before they will. Because they recognize that they need a Savior. Again in verse 16, he says, I will vomit you out, meaning that he will spit them out. And here it says, I will, meaning that he's about to. This is what Christ says concerning about this church. And again, this is graphic language. And then we came to the point of asking the question, Lord, why would you spit them out? And I said, which shared with you last week, two reasons. And the first reason is because the lukewarm make a false profession. Look at verse 17a. Notice that it says, because you say I am rich, having become wealthy and have need of nothing. Again, what a statement. They equated their spirituality, their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, remember that this city was enormously wealthy. They equated their prosperity with their spirituality with the Lord Jesus Christ to the point that they says, I need nothing. And again, that word nothing means no one or no thing. God forbid that any one of us in here would say that statement there. We're just praying about, thank you, Lord, for our food, for our clothing, for our house, for our job, the life that you give us, the strength that you give us to go to work, our families, everything, Lord, that comes from you. I hope we will never come to the point of saying, Lord, I don't need you for anything. But these people, that's where they came to that point there. And that draws us to the second reason why Christ rejects all lukewarmers, not only for their false profession, but secondly, they are rejected because of their true condition. And this is where we'll start at. Notice again verse 17. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. You see the and on each one is conjoined to each one of them. You're wretched and you are miserable and you are poor and you are blind and you are naked. These are strong languages that the Lord Jesus Christ in describing these people who are in this condition. I also see, as I've been doing my research, that these people were self-deceived in themselves. They was caught up with themselves and not caught up in the risen Christ. Christ used strong words to describe this church and his members. We are now at a point in our society that we can't use language like this. If we use language like this, we'll be saying that we offended somebody to a certain degree. Or you hurt my feelings until this point. But yet Christ here tells them, as being the Amen, as being the faithful and true witness, as being the creator of all the universe, he says, where you think you are wealthy, where you think that you are rich, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You try telling people that today. You go to church today, will you hear messages like that? No, what you will hear, your destiny is now. This is what you need to be doing. This is how you are to get it. And this is what God must do for you. But you go and hear a message. Look, you are wretched. You are poor. You are miserable. You are blind and you are naked. They'll walk out this door. They say, no, I don't want to hear that. Well, let's look at these, each one of them quickly. Notice now, again, I want you to keep in mind who is speaking. He has revealed himself to this church. Not the vision that he had gave to the Apostle John concerning the other churches, the vision that we've seen in Revelation chapter 1. But he gives himself, or he reveals himself, as being the Amen. And one of my favorite ones has become to be, I am the faithful and true witness. In other words, what I assess about you is perfectly and is accurate. And the first thing he tells this church, you are wretched. You do not know, you do not perceive, you have not sifted in yourself, you did not come to understanding of these things, you are wretched. And I personally believe, my brothers and sisters, it's because of the fact that people are in this kind of condition, it's because of what they are hearing. I read a book by Dr. John MacArthur and some of the other authors that is with him, he calls it Fool's Gold. And he said the reason why a lot of people are caught up in that type of teaching because it's plexiglass preaching. They just all they're doing is just hitting the wall. That's it. Ain't doing no effect to a person's life. You're not telling them what they need to hear. And even in love, Christ is telling the church, look, you are wretched. He says you're wretched. And the Greek says it like this. Call them the wretched ones. Here, they mean spiritually. They are spiritually affected, spiritually contemptible. In other words, Christ says, you are worthless. You are despicable. Try telling that to somebody today who say that they are Christian, yet do not know that they are in this condition. He says, first of all, you are wretched. Secondly, he says, the church was spiritual miserable. In other words, they were to be pitied. He said, in other words, he said, they are most pitiful. Again, they thought that they was pride in themselves and the riches and the wealth that they had. Yet the Lord see them as being pitiful. You're wretched, and now you're most miserable. You're most despicable. Yeah, I know you think that you're all that, but I'm telling you that you are wretched, and you are miserable. Thirdly, he says, you are poor. Again, they felt the rich. They felt like they was rich. They know that they was rich and had need of nothing. But again, the faithful and the true witness says, but you are spiritually poor. He used the word poor in the same as it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, as Brother Rob been preaching, when that poor there means you are destitute. You have nothing to give to God, only of your sins. And see, they thought they was rich. Now keep in mind, he's talking to what? The church. He said, you say you rich. He said, you say I am rich and have need of nothing, but you're wretched, you're miserable, and you are poor. You are just like in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, it says, having no hope and without God in this world. That's just the condition that they're in today. And I hope to God that you are not here today by hearing me or seeing me today in the congregation, or hearing me by CD, that you are without God in this world. Because if you is, you have no hope. And see, what I love about this, and we'll get to it probably the last message next week, God is coming in love telling you this. He's reading about how God loves it, even in his judgment. I forgot the title of the book, but that's a good book. He's, even in the book of Revelation, you see how God continues to bring about his judgment. In the midst of that, he is still showing love. It was love, it was the love of God that told you and me that we are wretched, miserable, and poor in spirit. Praise the Lord that the Lord opened up our eyes, as we will see, that we came to understand that, Lord, I am wretched, I am worthless, I am despicable. We don't like to hear that. Because now we'll say, and now we think that God owes us things. God don't owe us nothing but hell. They was poor in spirit. Fourthly, the church was blind, spiritual blind. In other words, they can see only what was in the world, money and human abilities. That's it. Here Christ tells, like Matthew says, Matthew here, he says, they, and I'm quoting, he say, they were blind, they could not see their state, nor their way, nor their danger. They could not see into themselves. The same word here is used as Christ told the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 and 16. You are blind guys. Blind guys. You can't see nothing. Even in verse 17 he says, you fools and you blind. And that's what's filling our church today. And that word blind means ignorant, get this, stupid, also slow of understanding. That would be like, and the definition has like mentally blind, and then that would be like what we'll describe a person who may be slow in learning as far as mentally blind. Well, I mean, not mentally, but mentally incapable of doing things. We hear Christ is saying, that's what this church is. You are lukewarm, you are neither cold nor hot, but you are wretched, you are pitiful, you are poor, and you are spiritually blind. He says this again to the Pharisees in John chapter 9, verse 39 and 41. Matter of fact, go there with me quickly, please. I'd like for us to see that. John chapter 9, verse 39 through 41. This is after Christ had healed the blind man, the man that was born blind. The man became to know, as it says in verse 38, then he says, Lord, I believe, and he what? Worship him. Verse 39, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Notice verse 40, get this. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words. They heard what Christ was saying, and notice what he says, and said to him, are we blind also? Notice in verse 41, he said, then Jesus said to him, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we just seen that, we see, therefore your sins remain. They was blind to the fact that they needed the Messiah. They did not recognize Jesus as being the Messiah. They were saying within themselves that we see. And so when they heard the words of Christ, when he said that, when he came to open up the blind eyes, he said, they were saying, are we blind also? Are you saying that of yourself, believing that you now see, but you are actually blind? You believing that what people are telling you is actually true, or what somebody have said to you, or what you even thinking of yourself is true of you? Are you that blind? And here Christ told the Pharisees, because you say you see, your sins still remain, because you do not recognize that you are blind, that you are wretched, that you are poor, your sins still remain. If you don't recognize that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, that I am the only Savior who can redeem your life, your soul, that you will be with me in heaven, then you are blind. That's why I thank God for a church that preaches the Word of God. Why? Because our eyes been opened. And he tell the lessee in the church, you are blind. Well, not only were they wretched, miserable, poor, blind, the church also, lastly, was spiritually naked. In other words, they failed to see their need for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get this, people. I want you to hear me out clearly. Christ's righteousness is what they needed. Christ's righteousness is what we need. Christ's righteousness is what everybody needs to be accepted in the sight of the Holy Father. If you do not have the righteousness of Christ, then you are naked. They will be naked just like our first parents. You remember in Genesis chapter 3 verse 7, it says that when they bit of the fruit, when they disobeyed God, they knew that they was naked. They were physically naked. But what they did not know, that they was now spiritually naked. And the Bible says that they tried to sow fig leaves. There had to be some big old fig leaves. They sowing it, and that's just what man is trying to do now. And even in verse 10 it says, when they heard the voice of God, they did what? They hid. They were trying to hide. Christ telling the church here in Revelation chapter 3 verses 17, hey, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and now you are naked. When you have all them foes, you come to the point of being naked. The church of Laodicea believed that they was good enough to be accepted to God on their term. And again, the amen, the faithful and true witnesses are telling them, you are naked. Brothers and sisters, men and women, there are many people who are in that condition today. Please hear me out. Some of you who may be hearing me by CD right now on sermon audio, you know you are in a church that is not preaching the Word of God. And what you is now, you are still naked before Almighty God. You have no clothing. You think that your good works is going to enable you to be right before Almighty God when the faithful amen, the true witness, the creator of all things is telling you, look, you are naked and you need my righteousness. People are still trying to enter into the kingdom of God on their own terms. It's not going to happen. And here's the reason why. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. I want to show you. This is a classic example. This will show you what will happen to those who receive the righteousness of Christ. This parable will show you what Christ would do to those who don't have his righteousness. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. I want us to read the whole context of that passage. When you have it, just say amen. Here, this is the parable of the marriage feast. Here it says in verse 1 of chapter 22 of Matthew, it says, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. and sent out his servant to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My ox and fatted calf are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm and other to his business. And the rest seized his servant and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies to destroy the murderers and burn up their cities. Then he said to his servant, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both, I love this, both bad and good. We was like that. Let me keep going. I know I like to stop sometimes. Let me keep going. He says, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Here we go. Verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Let's stop right there. Now, here the king is represented as God. He made a feast, which is representative of his son, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Christ is saying to the nation of Israel, particularly in this passage here, but it can also be applied to us as well, saying that, hey, look, I have made a feast for all to come. He invited those that who were invited, but they denied. They didn't want it. They made light of it. Then he said, well, go out to the highways and get all the rest of them. And each one of them guests who came into the feast, it was the man, it was the king who provided the garments, the wedding garments. Because notice where it says in verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he's the only one who's standing out loud. Everybody has the same garment on, which the king has provided. Notice what he says. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? In other words, how did you get in here? You ain't got a wedding garment. In other words, you refuse to take what I'm providing for you, but now you're going to try to get in it in your own way? So he said, how did you get in here? And notice the answer, the response. And he was what? Speechless. Couldn't say nothing. Why? Because he was wrong. He knew he was wrong. And that's how some people are today. You are still trying to get into the kingdom of God in your own righteousness, in your own term. You refuse to receive the wedding garment, which is the righteousness of Christ, which God has provided through his son, through the death of his son, and the resurrection. You refuse that. But you still want to come in and have fellowship with the king. So in other words, you will come in with your own clothes, with your own filthy rags, with your own stuff. Both you, God. I don't need that what you got. I've come on my own. I'm in control of my own destiny. I know what's in front of me, and you must do what I tell you to do. You cannot do anything unless I command you to do it. That's what this man is saying. You refuse the garment of God that he has provided, the wedding garment. Everybody else got the same wedding garment on. And when the king came in, he immediately spotted that one that didn't have one. Wait a minute, how did you get in here? Yeah. And so when he was asked how, he was what? Speechless. But now, notice what the king said in verse 13. Then the king said to the what? The servant, do what? Bind him hand and foot. And do what? take him away and cast him out into what? Out of darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many were called, but few are chosen. You think you're going to come to God's kingdom in your own term? No, you will be by hand and foot, and you will be cast. You refuse the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You refuse the garment that he has prepared for, and that's what he's telling the lay of the sea in the church. You are naked. Anyone who dies in their sins, and you stand before the holy God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be naked and in your shame. We were just talking about how serious this thing is. We don't have time to be lollygagging up here. I don't have time to be trying to tickle your ears. I must tell you what the scripture says. I must share with you what the Bible says according to what he had already said, sin, righteousness, and judgment. You refuse this garment? I'm giving it to you. You refuse it? Okay, bind him hand and foot. That is a classic example of what he would do to all those who refuse the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church of Laodicea said, I am in need of nothing. I am wealthy. But Christ, the faithful, amen, said, hey, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and now you are naked. In other words, your sins will always be exposed. That's why we must have Christ. When the Father looked upon us as believers, he doesn't see our nakedness. Y'all better get this right. He doesn't see our nakedness. See, any one of us who now, who, as my brother was saying, begin to understand the in-depth richness of the gospel, when we understand what Christ did on the cross, the way that he took away our sins, and that he has satisfied the law of God, we will always be joyful and glorify him because of what he did. That where now, when I stand before Almighty God, when he sees me, I am not naked. I am not ashamed. Why? Because we have the righteousness of Christ, the perfect righteousness that come from God himself. See, this thing here that the Lord is saying here to the lay of the sea in the church, and you think you got it going on. But you are self-deceived. You do not know that you are wretched. You are poor. You are most miserable. Not just miserable. You are most miserable. You are despicable. That's what he said. You are despicable. And you think you got it going on, but you are really despicable. You need to be pitied. You don't know this. And now you are naked. So now again, you won't hear that in churches today. You won't hear this type of language, this type of message in churches today. Why? Because they don't love you. I'm going to tell you right now, them false teachers don't love you. As a matter of fact, they will use you. They will do all kind of things against you. For their own purpose, because again, their God is their belly. It will not tell you. A true shepherd will tell you the truth. He will tell you the truth. He will share with you what God has said. And God, who is loving in all things, he is telling us, look, you are naked. Some of you right now who think that you have a relationship with God, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. And he says this out of love. He's not saying it out of anger, because if he was, you'd probably be done away with already. And you won't be here. So if he came, you don't want God to come visiting you. Every time in the passage of scripture, the Bible says God go visit him. When he visits, he brings judgment. No, you don't want God to visit you. Yeah, break four. No. But here comes the Son of God, who walks among sinners, who comes full of what? Grace and truth, who desire to give you mercy, who have not dealt with us according to our iniquities. When we should have been dead and gone, lifting up our eyes in hell, he dealt with us according to his what? His great mercy. And he told us, Mike Williams and Word of Life Community Church, everybody that is here, and you hear me by CD, if you are saved, he told you, out of love, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. I never forget what Dr. MacArthur said concerning about Christ when he said that Christ, who is the one who always tells the truth, it was the people who wanted to start a fight with him. He always, the Lord always told the truth. He did not sugarcoat. See, that's what I love about God. He don't sugarcoat nothing. He don't sugarcoat nothing at all. He'll tell you whether you're a hypocrite or not. He said that of who? Nathan. He said there's no hypocrisy in him. What a statement. I think my brother there brung it out when he said that. Christ tell us the truth. He tell this lay of the scene in the church. First of all, you're lukewarm. You're neither cold nor hot. And because of that, I am going to spit you out of my mouth. Telling them again, out of love. We're going to get into that next week and we'll finish it up. But I just got to say it. He's telling you out of love. And then he said again, something that we need to hear. God doesn't tickle our ears like these false teachers does. He tells us exactly what we need to hear. So if you are a hypocrite, you better hope that God tell you that so you can do something about it. Lord, please forgive me of the way I'm doing. Please cleanse me of my heart. A true believer will ask the Lord, Lord, search my heart and see if there's any wicked thing in me. A follower of Christ will be grieved when he knows that he has sinned against the Almighty God. Why? Lord, you've been too good to me. I don't want to keep sinning against you. And what I know, again, is a true believer, he is drawn to the truth. See, we're not like Adam and Eve when they heard the voice of God. They did what? They hid. No, we who are of Christ, who are followers of Christ, know I need to hear messages like that. I need to hear messages that would challenge me with my devotion with God. I need to hear messages that would tell me about sin. This may be a poor example, but I'm going to use it anyhow. I remember when I was in prison, and before I got married, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please give me a wife that's first of all is in love with you. Then I said, second, this is what I said, brothers. I walk around that track. I said, please, Lord, give me a wife that will not allow me to wallow in my foolishness. That tell me that I'm stupid or you crazy or whatever. But did he answer that? She. Get old preacher, what you preach, and preach, practice what you preach. But that's what we need. That's exactly what we need. And here he tells the church, look, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, and you're blind. See, they were not just one time. These things was compound on all of them. This was the church. And again, that "and" is a conjunction, meaning and this, and that, and this, and that. But yet they said, I am rich in need of nothing. I want us to look at the council now, the fifth point, the council. We've seen the church, the Christ, the complaint, the caution. Now I want us to notice the counsel. Look at verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anointed your eyes with eye salve that you may see." He counseled them to do three things. Here, he counseled them to buy spiritual gold, spiritual clothes, and spiritual eyes. Some may ask, why should I take the counsel of Christ? Why should I take your counsel, Lord? What makes you so different? Well, even though we've seen some of the titles that he gave, but in the Old Testament, there is another title that he revealed himself. You don't have to turn, but in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And, get this. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Second title, Counselor. Counselor? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and his many on. Based on those, we need to take heed to his counsel. See, don't listen to Dr. Feelgood. He's not the counselor. Don't listen to Oprah, because they cannot handle your situation, which is spiritual. Especially if you believe that you have a relationship with God, but you are lukewarm, you are useless, you are worthless, you are wretched, you are miserable. Don't listen to that foolishness. Listen to the counsel of the one who is called the counselor. He said, I counsel you to buy from me. The first price counsel of the Church of Laodicea is to buy spiritual gold. This is this purified gold that is tried in fire. They needed gold that was free from the impurities. You know how we have gold rings, gold necklace, gold chains. All that, it has value, but it's not the true value. It's not the true value here. Christ says, you need to buy from me. And again, he is not speaking of work salvation. As a matter of fact, go with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Excuse me, Isaiah 55. And I'll probably have to end it right here. Isaiah 55:1. When you have it, just say amen. Here he says here. Now, listen, please. Help us, Holy Spirit. I know that it's you, Lord, that who convicts the heart and the minds. But please, people, some of you who may be drug addicts, you may be a drunkard. You may be a liar or a thief. You may be a robber. Whatever you are, if you are not in Christ, then you are not his child. But please listen what he is saying now. Especially those of you who hear him by CD, you may be an adulterer or adulteress. You may think that there's no life, but real life is in Christ. And he's telling you, please come buy from me. Notice in verse 1 when he says, "Ho, everyone who's thirst, come to the waters." That's an invitation. Come. That's what we need to preach. I don't need to be preaching about your destiny. Your destiny, if you're not in Christ, is in hell. We already know that. We should know that. But here he's telling you to what? Come. Come. Come, but do what? And you who have what? No money, come and buy and eat. I got it all. I got everything that you need. Notice what he says, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine, spiritual milk. Without money, without price. Notice that verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Why are you wasting your time on that? Why are you still going to ABC Liquor to get that bottle? Or you going to that drug addict to get them drugs? Or you going to the street corner to sell your body? Why is you still doing that? Please come. I am the one that can give you life. Come buy from me. Don't waste your time on that messed up bread. It's not the true bread that came down from heaven. Christ is saying, I am the true bread. I will satisfy all your needs. And you will have fellowship with me. Come, buy of me. Notice again, he said, why do you spend money for what is bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Notice that he said, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Listen carefully, people. I know we are surrounded by false teachers everywhere we turn. And some of you may be in a position where you don't know which way to turn. Here, listen to Almighty God. When he says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in the abundance. Incline your ear and come dwell to me. Here, and your soul shall live. And I will make what? An everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercy of David, indeed I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and a nation who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Notice verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Listen carefully, people. And Christ saying in Revelation to the Laodicean church, buy of me that spiritual gold. Notice he says, call upon me while he is near. Notice verse 7. Let the what? The wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man what? His thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have what? Mercy on him and to our God, for he would what? Abundantly pardon. Listen, people. I believe that's what the Lord had me to speak to you who are out there. And I have shared my testimony many times, but I'm not afraid to share it again. I was just like you. I didn't know which way to turn. I got to the point I didn't care about life. I was robbing, stealing, whoremongering, addicted to drugs. You name it, I did it. And there are some things that I know that's coming in my mind. I am not going to tell you because then you won't listen to me no more. But that's fine. I think my wife even run too, say, I can't deal with you no more. But see, listen what he says. I will what? Abundantly pardon you. All my sins been placed on the cross of Christ. Christ bared all our sins to where the present, the past, and the future. What a work! That's what we need to be preaching, as he said earlier, it's the gospel. And Christ is saying to the Laodicean church, that's another red flag of me thinking, knowing that here that was an apostate church. He's telling, come, buy of me. I'm speaking as one who was in that type of condition. I'm not speaking as one who thought we had a relationship. No, I'm speaking as one like the one that Christ says, you are neither cold nor hot. I was one of the cold ones. I had a somewhat of a understanding of God through my grandmother, who is now with the Lord. But I didn't really have a relationship with him. So I knew a little bit of it. But I was still rejecting him. And it's just by the grace of God that he did not take his hand off me and allow me to be reprobated to a point that I wouldn't know what is right and wrong. And some of you are right at the edge of that and don't know it. Please hear me, people. I speak as one whose life has been changed. I speak as one who was in the gutter, who had no way. The only place that I was on my back constantly. My back was against the wall. The only place I could look up was up. I speak as one that has been redeemed. I don't speak as one as though I was always saved. And even though I am not the center of attraction, but please hear me, I believe my God has given me the ability to speak of those who are in the same condition as I was. I even went to prison. I'm telling you this because I know some of you are in that same condition. I see it every day, even on my job. Even in my own family, you are in that condition. You believe you got a relationship with God, but you have none. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And the great God, the loving God, the kind God, is telling us, telling you, buy of me. Let us pray.